Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we will be sharing perspectives on celebrating nature's diversity. Nature, by its very essence, has diversity. Diversity in terms of life forms, diversity in terms of changing climate patterns here on planet Earth, diversity in the interplay of sunlight and moonlight, the waxing and waning of the moon as perceived from Earth, the solar year with days getting longer and days getting shorter. Humans are part of the greater circle of nature, not only here on planet Earth, but as we start venturing forth off planet, we have humans in the International Space Station right now, and there's plans to have us go out even further as we move through time. My own definition of nature includes not only the natural realms on planet Earth, but within our solar system, our galaxy, and the cosmos. Certainly, most of the information about different life forms and rhythms of nature, for those of us that have planet Earth as our home, have to do with life here on planet Earth. The idea to have this show today, November 20th, 2019, came to me as I was preparing for an annual observance, TDOR, also known as Transgender Day of Remembrance. Every year, this TDOR Day is an opportunity to call to mind and remember those who have died as a result of anti-trans bigotry. It's also an opportunity to send support to people who are transgender, to their loved ones, to loved ones who have had transgendered family and friends murdered because of their transgender way of being. And it is a time to envision a healthier, a happier world with more equality, liberty, justice, understanding, and love. So tonight I have a special guest joining me. Brianne Ravenwolf has been part of the Circle Sanctuary community for many years, and she and I are co-facilitators of our Transgendered Day of Remembrance, which we hold at Circle Sanctuary Land in our temple room. So I'd like to welcome Brianne Ravenwolf, who not only is a trans woman, but a trans activist. And tonight we're going to share some of our own perspectives about diversity in nature. Too often the prejudice against trans people in particular, and people who may be perceived as different for other reasons, has really come from a lack of understanding about diversity in nature, and specifically diversity in humankind. So welcome, Bree.
Well, thank you, Selena. I really appreciate that. And again, it was a good opportunity to be at Circle again with you and a trans man for the first time. And, you know, letting the world know that people like me can and have been murdered just for being what we are. What we don't have a choice. It's what we are. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of people really don't realize the diversity in nature to boot. I mean, we have to look at planet Earth, and everybody on planet Earth, we have human beings, we have plants, we have animals, we have all kinds of stuff. We have stones, we have trees. And an interesting thing is, like in nature, I used to be a deer hunter, and I used to live in Iowa County. And, yes, I have seen deer with one horn, and not unicorns, but they have lost their antler in a fight or something. You said today at Circle that you saw a deer with three horns one time.
Yeah, well, that was in the social media and mainstream media. They actually said a one in a million deer, and this amazing image of a deer that not only had the two usual antlers, but had a third antler. And one of the great things about studying nature, not only in a spiritual sense, but a scientific sense, is to really look at the variations and how there's mystery and there's beauty and there's surprises. And we should be celebrating that rather than trying to have a monoculture or a uniformity. And indeed, many of the people who are attacked for being trans, or worse, murdered for being trans, people are coming from a place of bigotry and in some cases fear, not being educated about nature itself has quite a range when you have consideration of gender, of sexuality. I mean, there are plants that don't neatly fit in a male or female category. Some are both. And indeed, you'll find that in the realm of zoology. And with humankind, while clearly people know about having a mother and a father and that bringing forth life, well, not everybody who is born to a mother and a father is male or female. Many people are unaware that what's known as intersex is also part of nature.
Yeah, very, very true. And I'll make a public statement here. I am, or was anyway, I had surgery, a year and a half ago. But I am medically was in it. Well, still am technically, medically intersex. So, yes, it happens. And a lot of people just don't realize that sometimes, like you might have in my case, which I'm kind of older, you might have had a mother, let's say, that was taking a drug to, let's say, help in pregnancy and can create some variations in your genetic makeup. I read a book not that long ago, Between XX and XY, that really, like, there's no two people obviously the same. You might have shared DNA and everything, but a lot of times the gene pool, let's say, can be all over the ballpark. And also with, and I've actually written blogs and stuff on the human part of that, but one question that I had, you know, asked to me, do plants have sexes? And the answer is yes. We have male, masculine-identified plants, female plants, basically. It's kind of like you have a male and a female in human. You have structures that have the male structure, which creates the pollen, and you have the female structure similar to an ovary. You also have plants that can produce their own offspring. Maybe a little complicated, but ferns and liverworts, by the way, have male and female parts. And then you have a lot of plants are deed strictly male or female. Kiwi, for instance, cannabis, which I just found out about today, and willow are all that way. And with fruits and vegetables, too, you have male and female again. Pollen allergies actually are mostly produced by male, happily producing pollen, basically fertilizing the world. A lot of times, too, in the nature, you can have a bisexual flower, for instance, and it may have a male part and a female part. And a lot of the flowers that we look at as being beautiful today are actually bisexual. Roses, lilies, tulips, all of these have a female pistil surrounded by the male stamens. And so they can pollinate themselves. And it also helps that the bees and stuff, you know, spread that around too. You also have squashes, corns, birches, and a lot of them have unisex flowers. That is, some flowers are male, some are female, but they're formed on the same plant. And you also have that in nature, too. You know, amoeba can reproduce by themselves. So can some slugs and earthworms. And there are some species that have been, oh, let's say, genetically modified by humans, too, as well as plants, where you take and, like a botanist might cross-pollinate, you know, plants, trees, especially fruit trees and stuff like that. And we all know about genetically modified organisms and or organisms. I'm sorry. He's alive, too. Yeah, sorry about that. But, you know, there's nothing saying that plants can't have sex. Let's put it that way. And animals, obviously, too. But you have so many variations in nature, you know, where you cross a horse with a mule and you know what you get. And I'm not going to say that over the radio waves. But you have that quite frequently, I think too many times. And a lot of it I attribute to humans experimenting too much. Let's put it that way. But I really shouldn't use this platform to talk about Monsanto anyway, but oh well.
All kind of interconnected, and I do think those of us who are involved in nature spirituality, be it a form of Wiccan religion, Druidry, heathenism, pantheism, animism, there are many forms of nature religion and nature spirituality. I do think as we converge and share ideas, some of the things that I find really wonderful is the fact that we're part of nature. We're not the dominators of nature. A human might think that humankind can control nature, but no, we are part of this larger scene. And one of the wonderful things that I have as part of my spiritual practice is to commune with nature, to do ceremonies that are nature-centered, and to learn about nature scientifically, and to allow myself to keep that sense of awe and wonder that I've had since the earliest years of this life, to have that be part of an enriching dimension of life. Certainly, one of my favorite things to do is to go walking out into the forest, walking into our prairie, walking into meadows, and there seeing not only the rich variety of plant life, but the creatures, large and small, that make that their home, and recognizing, too, that they're different environments. We have that Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve. We have wetlands. We have a whole prairie system that, a bit of the original prairie before humans from Europe came and started settling in the area and changing the landscape. And we have a restored prairie that we've taken some of our land and let it return to Oak Savanna Prairie. We have a stream, we have springs, and being in the watery places, being up on high hills and ridgetops, and being in the valley, and seeing the different ways of being just on one particular piece of land. And one of the things that I see is valuable in celebrating nature's diversity, the more that one takes nature walks, does nature rituals, does nature meditation, the greater ability one has to attune to being part of this much larger fabric. And the more one sees firsthand, hears firsthand, feels firsthand, the rich diversity that is nature with a capital N. One of the things that you like to do, Bree, is take nature walks. Can you talk a little bit about that as a kind of spiritual practice and what kind of diversity you have as part of your nature walk experiences?
Well, yeah, I do a lot of hiking, a lot of walking out in nature as much as I can. I try to hike 2-3 times a week. I love being on the land, obviously, at Circle. When I'm out and I hike a lot by myself and I walk a lot by myself, but I can commune with my deities in nature, actually doing walking meditations and get feelings, get thought patterns, and it really increases your spiritual awareness when you're out in nature. I remember one time that the four of us, Selena, I think it was a couple of years ago, did a full moon circle up at Spirit Rock, and we were, if I remember right, we were communing with the oak trees up there because there's oak trees up there, and I was sitting next to this huge pine tree, and all of a sudden the pine tree called to me. And I touched the pine tree, and I actually communed with the pine tree up there. But it was so incredible that we were all in different spots. It was literally being, one of us was in the north, east, south, and west. And I had the opportunity to be looking to the south and also southwest, actually, and was watching the sun start to go down. And it was like all of nature up there was calling to me for sure, and I'm pretty sure you as well, Selena. And it's like the tree, says, I'm here on this rock, and there's not a lot of dirt here, but my roots are going way, way down. And you think about the tree of life at that point. And, you be in meditations where you say, okay, let's send our down through our root, down deep into the ground, and a lot of cases I worship Hecate, and so a lot of times it's down into the underworld. But it's such a wonderful experience, at least it is to me, to be out there with no interruptions, no cell phone, no nothing. Just you're there communing with nature, and you can touch the plants, you can feel the plants, you can let the plants talk to you. You know, we've all, probably all of us on this podcast have hugged a tree, obviously. But sometimes you can get feelings and vibes from a tree that will tell you, okay, we have some changes coming in this world. Maybe it's a drought. I remember a drought years ago. It was in the 90s, and it was, like, incredibly hot, even early, early in the morning, and, you know, plants and stuff were dying. And you could walk along the grasses, and they go crunch, 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 and they're actually, that sound is calling to you, saying, we need rain. Or when it's too wet, and again, at Circle, we have these springs, obviously, and everything, but in the spring, they come alive with the little peepers. You know, we've had full moons out there, and you hear these little peepers all over the place. You see all this life springing to life. I mean, I love spring. I love fall. And the cycle of life is such an incredible opportunity in nature. A lot of people say, why do you like fall so much? Well, the colors. I mean, the colors are incredible, and we, you know, to me, it's like the rebirth in the spring, and we slowly die in the fall and go into the winter, obviously. But it's this whole cycle in nature, and a lot of people don't really get out and enjoy it. But I've had so many feelings come to me just walking, keeping my mouth shut, trying to still my mind, hearing birds, hearing animals, seeing birds and animals. Little tiny frogs, bigger frogs, deer. I was out hiking one time, and it was at dusk, and it was on a full moon, and I think it was in Indian Lake near here, and an owl hooted and flew right into a tree right by me, and that was incredible. I mean, you know, if you can open your eyes and open your heart and open your mind and let all of this nature spirituality come right into your life. And, you know, I remember when I went out to New Mexico in 06 and climbed a big mountain, and people, you know, when I came back would say, well, why do you do that for? And I said, well, the view at the top is incredible, but I got to see mountain goats and marmots. I had never seen a marmot before. And so the more you get out in nature and can observe nature, sometimes just sitting next to a tree like I did at Spirit Rock a couple of years ago, just sitting with your back to a tree and meditating, it's just incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And I think if everybody could go out in nature and just learn from nature, I think a lot of things could be changed. I mean, this climate change is definitely for real. The plants know it. The animals know it. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know it. But I think if they got out in nature and actually communed with nature, really communed with it, I think it might change some people's ideas, hopefully.
Well, and I think one of the things that can be done regardless of whether one lives in a rural area or suburban or in an urban area, so wherever you happen to dwell, you can increase your powers of observation by just being in the place where you are, ideally being able to get out and walk in the area and just see how much life you can relate to and connect with. I do think that while it can be easier to have mystical nature experiences when you are in an environment that is not so human-centric, you have, you're in the minority. There's more trees than you. There's more creatures than you. You certainly, having that kind of immersion where you see yourself as being just a small part of the larger natural world, well, you can also tune in to being part of a much larger rhythm within the depths of a city, even if there aren't trees around, because life takes so many different forms. I think an important way to celebrate the diversity in nature is to get out in nature, as you've talked about. I not only see this as helpful for developing information, education, but awareness. And it's therapeutic. There are societies where going out into the natural world where less humans and more other types of life forms is considered an important healing modality. In Japan, they call it forest bathing. In fact, some of the physicians will prescribe forest bathing as a way of countering the stress of daily life. Going out and being unplugging and going into the natural realm where you have more contact with other life forms than humans. I do think, too, that when one spends time in environments where one is focusing on relating to other types of life forms, that really helps expand one's awareness of horizons of being. It can shift consciousness and stimulate creativity, enhance intuitive perception. I do think as we look at ways of evolving human life where there can be more compassion and understanding, collaboration, freedom, love, peace, well-being, that making sure that we can spend time shifting out of our own personal focus and what I call non-human-centric awareness. So the idea of whether it's a tree or it's watching a bird that's nearby or being out in a watery place. Some people engage in sporting activities such as fishing as a way of just kind of being in a natural world and tuning in. I'm wondering, as you think about how you've grown as a result of connecting with nature, what are some things that have come to mind? Do you have particular practices? Have you noticed changes in yourself since you've expanded the kind of nature walks that you're doing, since you've started practicing different forms of nature spirituality? You want to share some perspectives about that, Bree?
Yes, I think so. It's been interesting because to give people some background that don't know much about me, I had a business for 39 years, and for a good portion of that, I really wasn't outside a lot. I didn't connect with the pagan community like I had talked to Celine a long time ago about that. It took me 30 years to come full circle to get back to Circle Sanctuary, let's say. And I think a lot of it has to do when you're so caught up in life, and in my case, I was hiding the fact that I was trans for most of my life, and I was also hiding the fact that I was pagan. And it finally dawned on me by not taking care of my body, not being outside, not walking, not hiking. I did quit smoking 35 years ago. That helped. And I looked back on my younger life and I thought, geez, you know, lived on a farm, you're outside all the time, you're communing with nature. Even in the military for 8 years, I was out walking, hiking, all over the world, actually. And I thought, then I got, you know, I'm not going to blame it on my wife's, but it's sort of like you get complacent. My second wife was a couch potato, and you sort of like drift into these bad habits, like eating too much and stuff like that. And finally, through gender dysphoria, and I saw a therapist in lot 3 and 4, I thought, geez, you know, I haven't hiked for a long time. I've got to get back out in nature. And when I started doing that, slowly but surely, I was able to say, well, I need to eat more vegetables. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to take care of my body. If my body is a temple, then I've been abusing it. And when I got out and I started, you know, yeah, I had to start really, really slow. I've climbed a fair amount of mountains, though, in my life, you know, in the last 10 or 12 years anyway. And it was like every time I could get out and really be in nature, I felt my spirit was set free, basically. And then over the course of time, I was able to transition. So, you know, I went from one, well, let's say one sex to another, from the liminal spaces of my life. And it's been an awakening that I think has increased my spirituality. I mean, I know when I first walked into the temple room and I think it was welcome summer of 2016, and seeing Selena. I hadn't seen Selena, well, except for our UUA fellowship for many years. And I think that it does awaken you when you're in an area like Circle Sanctuary where you have these 200 acres of such a diverse array of flora and fauna, and hills and valleys and rocks and snakes and, you know, peepers and frogs and deer and everything else. And you stop to think, and okay, no cell service out there, and you think, wow, this is pretty cool. And I think it's really enhanced my spirituality, Selena. I mean, you know, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And it's just, I don't know. I can be cooped up. I go for walks in the city too. I live in an apartment in Madison, but it's when you get out in nature, even if it's in a local park, like the Arboretum's pretty close to me, University of Wisconsin Madison Arboretum, and you can get out even within the green spaces in an urban landscape. Let's say there's always green spaces. And, you know, when you're out there, and especially when you're by yourself, I like hiking in a group, but I mostly like doing my nature walks by myself, where I can really let my mind wander and just get messages from nature. I mean, we talk about getting messages from the universe and everything. Well, the universe, Gaia, the universe is nature. I mean, there is no better god or goddess than nature. That's just the way it is. And when you look at what is nature spirituality and what is your spirituality, you know, talking for myself, let's say, I think they're one and the same. Because when you can commune with the land, with everything on the land and all of the living things, and look at the microcosms of life and death and change and everything, it gives you a sense of humility, in my opinion, at least it does with me, where I go, wow, this is pretty darn cool. And the more I learn, the more I want to learn. I am learning more about herbs, and, you know, this year I actually grew a lot of them on a railing outside my patio. And I think when you can actually take a plant and touch it, I mean, I remember visiting an herbalist friend of a friend of ours, Meredith's friend, Kate, and she had this beautiful, beautiful plant with this beautiful white flowers, and I thought, I think it's datura, which is a poisonous plant if you eat it. And I touched the leaves. The leaves were gorgeous. Touched the flower, and I was really getting into communing with that. And not everything, you know, in nature, there's stuff in nature that will make you sick. There's stuff in nature that will give you, like, poison ivy and stuff, too. But on the other hand, there's a reason for all these plants. And when we have plants that are carnivores, in fact, I mean, not all – there are plants that eat bugs, which I think is great. But just the diversity and being a diverse person myself, it really strikes home that you feel just so humble in nature. It just, I don't know, it's sometimes for me it's an incredible experience, and I really can't, you know, put it into words how incredible it is. It's like when you get on top of a mountain and you can see all over the place, you know, or you go into a forest and, you know, wander, you know. And that's what I like about hiking and being in all these different places. I like hiking in the desert too, by the way. And it's just incredible. I don't know, but I know for a fact, Selena, and everybody that's hearing this, is my spirituality has really been boosted the more I'm outside in nature. And, you know, I'm out of Circle Sanctuary a lot. I appreciate being out there and volunteering and being there in events. And you walk through that gate, it's Circle, and it's like welcome home again, you know, every single day that you're out there. Not that I'm out there every day, but I don't know. It's hard to put into words, but I can say that nature makes me feel like really humble. And these people that don't get it, I feel sorry for them. I really, really do. So that's my take on it anyway.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I have several approaches for celebrating nature diversity that I'd like to share and get some reaction from you for. So there's different ways to commune with nature and to appreciate the diversity. One is taking a really in-depth look at a particular environment. And this often, one can certainly take a nature walk in the environment, or one can just simply sit or stand in one particular location, focusing on what is visually apparent, really immersing oneself in that environment, and noticing, going beyond what I call the scenery consciousness, where you experience yourself as being very much part of that environment, and watching the visual, hearing, tuning into your sense of hearing sounds. What creature sounds do you hear? Do you hear the wind? And in some places, even if you're in a more natural environment, you may hear human activity. If it's in a park, there might be people walking nature trail, or there might be people flying in a plane overhead or driving in a car within earshot. But essentially, tuning in with each of the senses, being aware of smells, being aware of sensations, feelings, the taste of the atmosphere, and then letting oneself go to what you might call the sixth sense, the intuitive sense of actually feeling at one with the whole circle of life where you are at, doing this communion with nature at that particular time, in that particular place. Another approach is what I call cosmic. And this takes the form, and it works really great at a dark moon, new moon time, with a clear sky, where you find a place to go away from city lights. You really want to reduce the human light pollution, go into a place where there's darker skies, and then whether it's a chair or a beanbag or some other place where you get yourself comfortable, you might lay on your back. Beanbags I've used over the years for stargazing because you can kind of adjust yourself and look up at the whole horizon. And then to just experience yourself on planet Earth, and planet Earth being part of this much larger cosmic dimension of nature, looking up at the stars, at planets. Sometimes you may see a meteor, and gazing into the heavens at night, it can be a really powerful way of connecting with nature diversity. You have your own sensations of being on planet Earth, but as you're looking up into the heavens, the idea of this macrocosm of all those worlds, of all those suns, of all those galaxies and different places within the larger cosmos, it can be really awesome. One can use this as a therapeutic exercise, and indeed some of I do counseling and therapy and life coaching and other forms of consultation as part of my life walk. And for people who have found themselves really bogged down with the stressors of life, people who are struggling with anxiety, depression, some other conditions that have really taken away some of the joy of life, depending on the person and the situation, I may recommend that they go and do some stargazing like this. And why do I say that? Well, when you allow yourself to see that really big picture, it changes your perspective in terms of daily minutiae, even though that's front and center when one's dealing with life stressors. Being able to appreciate the beauty of the larger universe of which we're part helps us shift from internal struggles into our participation being part of the much larger world. And then in the other end of things is if you happen to have a microscope or have some good internet connection and want to go online, to actually go into the minuscule microcosm of actually taking a look at photographs, or if you're able to look at some things under a microscope, looking at the patterns of nature. The beautiful shapes and colors. Some people put a leaf under a microscope or a bit of soil, or some get down to the cellular and the subcellular level. And what I find is really wonderful about nature and diversity, you are going to find that diversity at a very tiny microscopic scale to this huge cosmic universal scale. And of course, most of our time is spent here on the Earth in our daily lives. And so in the middle of those two extremes, we can take a look at some natural object. For example, a wooden door. You can use that as a kind of meditative focus, looking at the grains, looking at the coloration, looking at the shape, calling to mind this was all part of a living being, a tree at one point. And so nature diversity can take a lot of different forms. I do think by communing with nature, you're able to shift out of your ego-driven personal identification that often gets activated and reinforced as we go about daily life. Yes, there are things we have to track and communications we have if we have a job or jobs or if we're studying. You know, there's just our ways of going about our daily life. But taking some time out with the idea that one communes with nature in not just one way, but in some multiple ways, and giving oneself permission and opportunity to go deep in communing and connecting with the natural world, it expands our horizons. It shifts our rhythms into a more holistic framework. So, Bree, I'm wondering, have you had experiences with stargazing, with using some form of natural object that perhaps been made from plants, or actually gone into the microscopic level? I'm wondering if you can share some of your own experiences and looking at the different ways nature is diverse.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I like the full moons, obviously, but I really like when I'm like out on the land, and not just Circle, but other places I've been. In Maybon 2017, I was up in the mountains and outside of Albuquerque, and when you get out in the areas where there's no or not much light, and you can basically be under the stars. I think that the thing I learned long, long time ago, I think I was 16, I was in the Boy Scouts at that time, and winter camping, and a friend of mine and me, we had a little fire going, but we were sleeping outside on a tarp, and it was clear as a bell, and we had the crackling of the fire and everything, but you could look up in the sky and you could see all the stars. It was dark from what I can remember. And I had that happen in Idaho and Montana when I would go hiking. I had a friend in Montana, a civilian friend. We literally slept on a tarp underneath the stars, no tent, nothing. And a lot of times you'd wake up and you'd see animals, you know, outside, wake up, see deer. Sometimes you would smell some animals you didn't really want near you. And, you know, it was just magical. It was strictly unbelievably magical. When they say that nature is magical, it definitely is. I mean, I think when I look back at being outside, my father was very physically abusive, and I'd be outside as much as I possibly could, and I didn't really play with my siblings. But any time that you can, you know, really take the time to observe. I mean, I have sat by streams and clear streams out west and just watched fish swim by, and every now and then you run into a pool. I remember the first time I did water scrying, God, a long, long time ago, it was like incredible. Not too long ago, I was up in northern Wisconsin with a friend of mine, and we were on a trail with a couple other people, and they had this this pond, this in a boggy area. And literally, my friend, you know, just sat down and she started scrying right into the pond. And recently, the same woman went up and it was frozen and looked at it as more of a portal. So when you when you can get close and just observe and hear the wind, hear anything, it's just unreal. But favorite times for me is when I've been camping and, you know, even in a tent with no rain cover on and looking at the stars. I remember one time at Green Spirit, I think it was 2016 or 2017, we had really, really good weather. And I generally don't camp with around other people. So I was up actually near the ferry shrine and had my tent, and I didn't have a rain cover on because it was clear. And just mesmerized, laying on my back on my sleeping bag, and I'm going, wow, this is really cool, listening to the coyotes and a couple owls, and unbelievable. I mean, it's you realize then that, you know, we are just a little dinky part of the universe. It's just, you feel really small, actually. You know, and your ego just goes away. I mean, you look at this stuff, and if you've got a big ego, when I had my business, I had a huge ego. But when I'm like this in nature, and my ego's slowly going away along with my shadow self. But you feel so small. It's really overpowering. I think that's where the spiritual nature of nature comes in, where you realize, you know, you're only one little dinky part. I mean, if you look at a colony of ants, even when they're a little small in our perspective, and I've done microphotography over the years, when you really analyze, yeah, your patterns, like you said, Selena, or how the rocks are polished on the ocean. You know, I've got a friend in Vermont I spent some time with a couple months ago, as you know, and one of our goals is to go to Maine together, hopefully next year. And, you know, I love to go to different places in the wilderness. And, you know, I can't get enough of it. It's just like it's an obsession, but it's a healthy obsession. And it just gives you different perspectives. I mean, I've seen rattlesnakes. I've been bitten. And I've seen scorpions and all kinds of stuff in the desert. And people say, what do you like about the desert? I says, well, it's varied. I mean, it's different than what we have here in Wisconsin. And there's very few mosquitoes out there. You know, so there's advantages and disadvantages no matter where you live. I mean, you know, I've never been to Virginia. Someday, you know, I want to do some of these things. Will I be able to do it all in this lifetime? No. Have I been blessed by being all over the place? Yes, very much so. And I've got some really good experiences. But anytime, anywhere I've ever been in nature, I have never, ever been disappointed, including when I've been rained on, muddy, the whole bit. Yeah, we grit and bear it. But sometimes going for a hike with a raincoat on and drizzle is incredible. I mean, I remember going to Governor Dodge Park one time, Selena. I had a slicker on, and I deliberately went out when it was like misty and cloudy, and, you know, the ferns were there, and it was just like, just so nice. So quiet. And when I remember a lot of times when I would be really stressed, the best stress reliever for me was being outside by myself in a place where there wasn't anybody around except natural objects. In fact, I would get really irritated sometimes on a hike if I wanted to be in solitude and do a sovereign hike, let's say, communing with nature, where people would be on the trail and yakety, 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 yak. And I'd really get irritated at them. I choose to go out now that I'm retired. I choose to go out during the week when there's hardly anybody outside. And I've been blessed that way. And people say, do you worry about stuff? And I go, no, I really don't. I've had a couple of close calls in nature, but so far, knock on wood, I've been okay. but it's just, it's indescribable. I mean, it's just unreal. It's ethereal. It's out of this world, literally. I mean, especially in the summer, you know, when you're laying down on your anything, well, like you say, your beanbags or whatever, or just laying on the ground and looking up at the sky and watching the sun set and watching the sun rise. I remember one time camping in Montana with my friend who's now dead. We would camp a lot, and early in the morning we'd be out fishing, and it was like just, you know, you'd look outside the tent if we were in a tent and see deer munching, and, you know, I've seen beaver out in the woods. I saw my first badger, by the way, in New York State when I was 16, and that was camping and literally camping under the stars, which I don't do anymore. But I've had these experiences over the years, and then I had like 39 years where it really sucked, but I was in business for myself, and some things had to go away. But it's any time that I've been really stressed or needed relief or needed answers. I mean, I have gotten some incredible answers, Selena, from being outside. You know, feelings, I'll be all mixed up. Shadow self took over, especially 5-6 years ago, where you get out in nature and all of a sudden you can say, well, I am good enough. I can do this. I can do that. You know, and you start thinking about all of the connections that we have with the universe through nature. And it cannot, in my opinion, be artificially reproduced. I don't care how good a photographer anybody is. You can't beat the real thing, and that is nature. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts. I'll just share a few other techniques before we close. One way of being able to attune to nature's diversity is to pick a place near where you live. It could be looking out the window. It could be what you see from your front door. And as part of a spiritual practice is on a daily basis, go there and just spend a few moments observing. So there you have place through time. And clearly those of us who are in a place with four seasons will watch that whole progression of the weather patterns changing, what you'll notice in terms of environmental changes. Another approach is to experience a place at different times of day. Now, people who like to do photography, painters, other types of artists, often will enjoy the early morning light or the late afternoon light because there's a special kind of mystical dimension to the lighting as the world is waking up in a day, and then as the life shifts into the night at night. So those are some really powerful times. But being able to experience a place at different times of day and being able to celebrate nature's diversity. That way, I notice that when night is coming on, the sounds that I hear have shifted a lot. Now, you can get this in very beautiful natural environments, but you also can get a sense of it in what you might call human-centric spaces. Recently, I was in Las Vegas, Nevada for the first time doing some presentations, and some of the people I was with were giving me a chance to experience Vegas at different times of day, and we would be cruising around this urban area. And fortunately, the Pagan Pride Day, where I was one of the speakers, was in this wonderful park with beautiful trees and green space and everything. Well, I can tell you, very same road, stretch of road that we would go through, you know, the main strip through Las Vegas, looked very different at night than it did during the day. And yes, there were things created by humans, all sorts of casino hotels and neon lights and all of that. But there were also different kinds of trees and vegetation around, and the lighting and the energy of the people visiting the space really transformed it. And very different energy at night than during the day. So I would invite those of you who have been listening to our Celebrating Nature's Diversity tonight to consider some ways of exploring nature's diversity in your own life, in the place where you dwell, and to make more time to notice yourself in relationship to that larger circle of nature of which we're part. I do think that as more humans are able to tune in to this larger world that we're part of, to spend time there, to get healing there, to get renewal there, it can really help us not only have more fulfilling lives for ourselves, but have us be in better relation, not only with other humans, but the rest of the circle of nature of which we're part. Well, I see that we are coming up to the conclusion of our show tonight. I want to thank you, Bree, for not only being on this podcast tonight, but for contributing to our support for LGBTQ people within our community and in the larger world, for being a co-facilitator, as well as someone helping to pull together the information for our Transgender Day of Remembrance every year. Any closing words before we sign off tonight?
Well, other than saying thank you for, again, for letting me co-facilitate with you for the TDOR, and we'll keep doing it as long as we can. I mean, it's very good to spread awareness, but it's also a relief to also be out at Circle Sanctuary on the land as much as I can be and communing with nature. Even when I'm like stressed out and worried about this, worried about that, nature actually reinforces my thoughts that there is a possibility that life could and will be better at some point in time. It's just all about education, and you can't really understand nature if you're just sitting and watching TV. How's that?
Well, thank you for being on the show.
You're welcome.
For more information about Circle Sanctuary, you can visit us on the website, www.circlesanctuary.org. You can find out more about Circle Sanctuary on social media, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can give feedback about this show to me at my Facebook page, Selena Fox Updates, via Twitter, Selena_Fox, and Instagram, Selena Fox. I invite all of you who are listening live and those who listen later to check out all the kinds of podcasts that we have. We have diversity of podcasts on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And you can get more information about our podcast at the Circle Sanctuary website. And on Facebook, you can get updates about the shows that happen at CSN Podcast on Facebook. Thank you all for listening, and I invite you to celebrate nature and join us again as we have Nature Spirituality podcast in times to come. Many blessings.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.